In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity.
Amen.
Amen. Today's gospel, with its description of Jesus' transfiguration, finds us at the end of a week that has had a lot of turmoil. Whatever your political persuasion, questions abound about how we navigate our common life together. And many voices are bombarding us. We can wonder where God's presence can be found, where to look, how to be people characterized by hope and love. Jesus' transfiguration speaks to ways that he extends his presence to us, even when we can't always grasp who he is, even when we struggle to discern what it means to walk in faith. The story of Jesus' transfiguration is such a strange story. One minute, Jesus is the disciples' traveling companion. Now, anyone who's gone on a road trip knows that when you travel with people, you come to know their quirks, you have your inside jokes, you know each other pretty well. And so the disciples know Jesus as their traveling companion, but here, Peter, James, and John encounter Jesus bathed in light in the company of revered figures from the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, these three disciples have traveled with Jesus, and yet this transfiguration makes his familiar presence rather alien. It drives home the fact that they don't see the whole picture about Jesus, that they only yet dimly apprehend who is present with them. And so in this moment, Peter, James, and John have to let go of their understanding of Jesus and the ways that they have tried to box him in. And once again, they have to grapple with what it means that Jesus is more than their teacher and their friend, that he is also divine. It's a thing they'll have to grapple with their whole journey of faith. And one of the tactics that many use in seeing and persuading, and the disciples have to learn how to see. They have to see and have a sense of vision. It's not always an easy thing, and our sense of vision is actually very easily formed and shaped. One of the tactics for persuasion that advertisers know very well is that they must get us to see something differently before we will do something differently. In other words, we have a need for buy-in, to have a why behind our choices to invest in things. We even use metaphors for vision when we talk about this, often using language about the extent to which we see a reason for making our choices or see a point to a line of argument. The lens through which we view our lives affects our choices and shapes the kind of lives we live. We observe this last Sunday after Epiphany with another revelation, as Jesus' divine identity is shown to some of his disciples in a deeper way. They and we are invited to see Jesus differently, so that we will listen to him. The extent to which we listen and we allow Jesus to renew our vision is the extent to which we are able to ground our hopes in something real: the death and resurrection of Jesus and the faithfulness of God. Even when we have more questions than answers, and even when we wonder how to discern what it means to be a person of hope in our world. In the face of all that is to come in Jerusalem, Jesus wants to persuade his disciples to see differently, not so that they will buy something they don't need, but so that they won't miss what they do need: his presence with them as both human and divine. Peter's attempt to make sense of things is a good starting point for how all of the disciples have to continually let go. In his awe and overwhelm at what he's seeing, Peter wants to do something. I think we can relate to that. And so he kind of bumbles around and winds up blurting out, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, And Scripture even makes a point of telling us that he didn't really know what he was saying. Peter's trying to contain and control the experience, but he's instead challenged to surrender to it and to allow it to reshape his own understanding. Jesus' transfiguration reminds Peter, James, and John that their relationship with Jesus will continue to deepen, but that they won't be able to control it. They won't be able to pace the understanding. They won't be able to understand the outcome all the time. They have to live in the mystery and learn how to inhabit it. And so they're exhorted by God's own voice. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." In many images of this gospel passage, Jesus is extending a blessing to his fearful disciples who have fallen on the ground in fear and awe, inviting them to get up, to move forward, trusting in the paradox that in the midst of the circumstances that they encounter, the presence of Jesus is there, offering blessing in the midst of their uncertainty and confusion. He's still their traveling companion. He's still road tripping with them. He's still recognizable. And yet he's also more than whom they had known up until this point. They're learning to see more deeply and be attentive, recognizing that even though Jesus has been in their midst, they have not always fully grasped who he is. And they need to keep watching and they need to keep listening. That's true for all of us today, too. We can assume that we know who Jesus is, and in that familiarity, not hear new things that he may be saying to us. Or we can think he is too holy to be with us, that he's not in touch with our struggles in our own daily lives or the struggles of our world. But when we stop and when we are fully present and when we look for ways in which God is doing something new and we recognize that we follow a God of epiphanies who wants to speak to us, then it changes how we pray and how we see and how we listen and how we live. And it shapes and informs our ethical stance in the world. We constantly have voices surrounding us telling us how to see the circumstances of our lives and how to understand our very selves. And fear and anger is in the air, and many voices are either declaring that things are hopeless or often telling us to place our hope in anything you can think of, in money, in power, in having our act together, you name it. But the story of Jesus' transfiguration challenges us to think about who we are allowing to shape our vision and whose voice we are listening to. Think about this question. Whose voice causes you to see something so differently that you act differently? When you are by yourself and making decisions about your life, whose voice is the one that makes you do something different? Think about that question. Is that voice the one that you want it to be? Or is it a voice that drives you into shame or self-deception or overachievement or fear? Are you listening to the voice of Jesus, inviting you towards healing and hope and courage and forgiveness? That's the invitation we hear today. We need to reattune our souls to the voice that so often throughout Scripture, before anything else, calls us to not be afraid. Not out of some naive assertion that everything will be comfortable, but because the one who calls us to listen is always faithful. So often, this is the only certainty that we have. Jesus is the one who always draws near to us, and yet at the same time is always so much more than we can comprehend. Like Peter, James, and John, we are called to quiet our hearts, critically evaluate the voices that constantly press in for our attention and obedience, and listen so that we may see differently and live differently. As we listen to the voice of God's beloved Son, May we truly hear. May the Spirit of God remind us of all that we need to know, transforming our sight and transfiguring our lives.